Ooh, the latest with Jimmy Garoppolo. Do the 49ers have offers in hand right now for Jimmy G? And how has he not been traded yet if that's the case? Tom Brady announces his unretirement. That happened very quickly. He is coming back, not with the Niners, but with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Other quarterback news around the NFL and some free agent names that are being attached to the 49ers when the new league year begins this week. All coming up right now.
You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers. Brian Peacock and Eric Crocker with you at BD Peacock, at Eric underscore Crocker. Today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. I want to thank everybody for making us your first listen right here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. There's tons to get into here, and this is always fun, Croc, because even over the weekend, the wheels are churning in the NFL, and the 49ers have been connected to some names, and there's a report out there of the 49ers already had an offer, second round pick for Jimmy G. Are they asking for more? Did Jimmy shut down that offer? I don't know. I want to talk a little bit about that. But first, we get to put the Tom Brady storyline to bed. And I'm kind of excited about this, Crocker, because I thought this was going to linger all the way into the summer. And now, I know, I'm sure, look, clockwork, there's going to be other conspiracy theorists out there. It's like, okay, Tom Brady came back from retirement just to say that now the Buccaneers have to do something with his salary because that means he wants to come play for the 49ers. I don't know, you know, some kind of angle about getting him onto the 49ers. But
yeah.
The statement from Tom Brady, I want to read this really quick and get your thoughts, Croc, on Tom Brady coming back. He said, basically, I don't have his statement anymore. But basically, his statement was, yeah, I thought about it for 2 months. It was like barely over a month. And I decided my heart isn't on the sideline. It's on the field or whatever. So Tom Brady's coming back. Tom Curran, who covers the Patriots for NBC Sports Boston, said that he gleaned some intel on Brady's return decision. Bottom line, announcing retirement took the heat off the spotlight of him. He intended to retire, but obviously had reservations. After 40 days and time to reflect, he reversed himself and doesn't feel bad about it. Everyone close to him is said to be very good with it. The process of getting ready for 2022 begins tomorrow. So Tom Brady coming back to the NFL, I already have a problem with that. He had more headlines because he retired and unretired in a month span than he would if people would have just been, okay, there's a quarterback that exists in the NFL. There'd have been no stories written about him heading into free agency there. So there's been more of a spotlight on him because he retired and then unretired so quickly and pretty much told everybody that he wasn't ready to retire like 2 days after he retired on that podcast, right? So this is probably the least surprising storyline of the offseason.
Yeah, and I have his official statement here. It was, these past 2 months, I've realized my place is on the field and not in the stands. That time will come, but it's not now. I love my teammates and I love my supportive family. They make it all possible. I'm coming back for my 23rd season in Tampa. Unfinished business. Let's effing go. Now, there were some key words in there. I'm coming back for my 23rd season in Tampa. Unfinished business. Does that to you strike you as a player that is potentially thinking about going to another organization?
Nope, not at all. Tom sounds like he's back. It's Tampa Bay one more time. I think he'll get his farewell tour, which he probably deserves and maybe he even wants. And I think it's the best way for him to go out is that everybody knows it's his last season going in, right? So, and maybe that puts more pressure on him. I don't know. But, and who knows, maybe he still doesn't retire after next year. But, I'm just glad this story can close and we don't have the whole cloak and dagger stuff and all the conspiracies about Tom Brady and how he's trying to end up with the 49ers. We can put that to rest. And I wonder if maybe there was something to it and maybe he realized that wasn't going to be an option because of Tampa wasn't going to let him do it or that the Niners had other plans and were going to go along with, you know, Trey Lance. And I'm sure there's, you know, for someone who's 45 years old and has played for 23 years in the NFL and is one of the greatest player ever in NFL history, I'm sure he has enough connections and back channels to where he could talk to or just drive down the road when he was visiting his family in San Mateo and drive down the road and talk to Kyle Shanahan and be like, hey, you think this is even a possibility? And they realize it's not. I don't know. Maybe that could have happened. I don't even think it went that far, but it's clear now. Tom Brady not coming to the 49ers, but he is coming back to play one more year, and it is with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Let's close the door on that storyline, Croc.
Well, I think the biggest question now is, how good will Tampa be next season with
really good.
Tom Brady? They have a lot of pending free agents. You know, what's their money like, the salary cap, everything like that? You know, the Godwin, will they be able to, you know, bring him back? Did they franchise tag Godwin?
They did not.
So he's going to be a free agent.
He's going to be
and a free agent. And the tampering period, there are a lot of 49er fans I've been seeing on social media. 49ers, do something. Well, like, I don't know how much they could have done right now, except for bring back their own guys. You know, the tampering period doesn't start until, like, or did people want 49ers to make a trade or something? Because I've been seeing a lot of that. I've been seeing a lot of, like, dude, they're not doing anything. Wake up, 49ers. You got to make some type of move. It's like, well, the tampering period doesn't even start until Monday. By the time you listen to this, that time would officially kick off. And then you'll start hearing places. But right now, all the news has been either trades. We saw Amari Cooper get moved from the Dallas Cowboys to the Cleveland Browns, or something like this with Tom Brady. I mean, or Deshaun Watson. We might have to talk about how does that affect Jimmy Garoppolo's trade value, because it sounds like we should hear more come Monday. But I don't know how much news or noise the 49ers could have made so far.
So the Bucs did use the franchise tag on Chris Godwin. I remember there was stories that they were trying to get a deal done, and they're still trying to get a deal done. So I thought for some reason maybe they didn't use the franchise tag on him. But yeah, no. Reminded myself, they did use the franchise tag on Chris Godwin, so he's coming back. And I wonder if they were planning on, because Tom Brady's salary wasn't going to count when he's on the reserve retired list. So that maybe throws a wrench into the works of what they were able to do with bringing some guys back and paying some guys too. So, you know, that's why there's going to be conspiracy theories about Tom Brady coming back. And we kind of talked about that. Remember about how if Tom Brady really wanted to play hardball, his best move was to come back to force them to use their salary cap allocation to him and to force a move to go away. But that would have been after they had done all their offseason stuff, and then they would be up against it cap-wise.
Right.
So now,
the words here, the way he kind of worded it.
Right.
You know, I'm coming back for my 23rd season in Tampa. Unfinished business. To me, that's not someone that is even, it doesn't sound like someone thinking about playing for another organization.
Or, and maybe he worded that way on purpose just to put that stuff to rest too. Like, look, I'm coming back to play in Tampa. Enough with the rest of it. That's what's happening. Yeah. And another one, actually, there's still some people that believe Kyle Shanahan loves Kirk Cousins so much that he was going to trade for him and potentially even trade as part of the package, trade away Trey Lance. And like, there's madness out there. There's so much stuff. I'm glad the tampering period is coming, because there's just so much madness out there. But the Minnesota Vikings have agreed on a one-year extension with quarterback Kirk Cousins. So that essentially locks him in. So they're going forward with their new coaching staff there and Kirk Cousins in Minnesota. So we can also end that, even though we hadn't ever entertained that, Croc, on this podcast, because we knew it was all BS. And I thought maybe there was potential for a team to go trade for Kirk Cousins, but the 49ers and Kirk Cousins wasn't going to happen at all. As unlikely as the Tom Brady stuff was, even more unlikely was the Kirk Cousins stuff. So now he's sticking around, and it's clear that maybe if other teams were calling, like say the Colts, they aren't trading for Kirk Cousins either. He's going to stick around for at least an extra year with the Minnesota Vikings. But what about those 49ers, Croc? Let's get into it. There's a report out there that the Niners have a second-round pick offer in hand for Jimmy Garoppolo. We'll get into that. We'll get into Frank Clark. According to ESPN, Frank Clark is expected to be a potential future 49er when this tampering period, when this free agency period gets going this week. Some other names attached to the 49ers. We'll get to all of it coming up after I tell you folks about Built Bar. And yeah, Croc loves the Built Bar puffs. He loves the key lime pie is your favorite flavor now, right, Croc?
Yes.
Did it over cookies and cream for you?
Yeah, because I like the puffs more than the actual, like the other protein bar.
the standard. See, I like the classic flavors better, and more so than the marshmallowy puffs, which, by the way, it's just, when as far as the puffs go, to me, it's just amazing. They're it's the first ever protein infused marshmallow, and I don't understand how it's possible that Built Bar does what they do, but they do it. And churro puff, the key lime pie, that's Croc's favorite, banana cream pie, coconut marshmallow, or the classic flavors, which are the ones that I really like the peanut butter and the cookies and cream and the mint brownie. But no matter what flavor you like, you can find it or some new flavors all the time at built.com. And most Built Bars amazingly have only 130 calories and only 4 grams of sugar and 4 grams of net carbs with a whopping 17 grams of protein, so you can feel good when you're reaching for that snack. Get rid of all those old snacks and all your hiding places and replace them with Built Bars like Kruk and I do. And or you can just get a mixed box of Built Bars, by the way, if you don't know what flavors you want to try. So go to built.com, use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off that order. That is promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. So this was reported by John Middlecoff, former NFL scout. He scouted with the Philadelphia Eagles for a couple of years. And by the way, it pays the scout's post-scout career seems much more lucrative and much more fun than the actual life of a scout.
Yeah.
For a long time, I would have been like, dude, that's my dream job. I want to be an NFL scout. And then the more you dig into it, it's like, man, you can't afford to hire me as an NFL scout. Now I'm not going to go, you know, they call it 25 at 25. That's what they used to call them back in the day. It's probably a little bit more money now, but it used to be you find a 25-year-old out of college that's willing to work for $25,000 a year and just be on the road at Tulsa and Liberty and, you know, whatever, Western Kentucky, all these schools, and you're the area scout and you're collecting information and you bring all this information back and you write all these reports for all these guys and you're on the road and you have no family and no life because you're on the road constantly and you come back to headquarters and you have all these reports and the GM doesn't listen to you anyway. Like that,
right?
Life scout isn't great. And so when I say, and I'm Matt Williamson is my co-host on the Peacock and Williamson NFL show, and he's a former scout too. He didn't scout very long. It's like, it's not very lucrative and nobody listens to you. You learn a lot, though, being in the buildings. So I love hearing ex-scouts talk about football, and they have a lot of connections, as does Williamson, as does guys like, you know, Daniel Jeremiah is a great example of it. And he might skip a few levels because he went to the media side and eventually come back and be a GM someday. But Middlecoff, former scout, and he still has buddies in the league, and he texts around, and he found out that the 49ers have a second round pick on the table, or it has at least been offered. I don't know if it's like just burning a hole in the table right now and there's a second round pick and the clock is ticking on this second round pick, or if it was a pick the Niners flatly denied, or if it was from a team that Jimmy Garoppolo said, no, I don't want to go there. But at least according to Middlecoff and whoever his sources are in the league, the Niners were offered a second round pick. Does that mean, Kruk, that Jimmy Garoppolo is going for more than a second round pick, or do you think there's something else involved here? Or do you think Middlecoff's full of it?
No, I don't think Middlecoff is full of it. This is a guy I listen to, the Haberman and Middlecoff and the Three and Out podcast pretty faithfully, I would say. I don't listen to a ton of podcasts anymore, but those are two I listen to on whenever they drop an episode, I'm listening to it. And one thing that Middle's been really good at is he's not like trying to be like clicky with the headlines or hot takey or anything like that. He just talks like you and I. And, you know, sometimes I have buddies that, you know, are, you know, in different positions, whether it's in the NFL or some trainers that I know or some people that might be coaching or whatever. And I'll be like, hey, man, you know, one of my buddies said this. And that's all Middlecoff does. He has these, like you talked about, the post-scout career. He can text all these people. And the tree is crazy with Middlecoff because he was with Eagles and the whole thing with the Chiefs and all this, and then the scouts that have maybe went to different organizations or scouts that he's met on the road visiting, whatever it is, or his time back at Fresno State, he's kind of developed this network around just scouting, and he can just text people and sometimes he'll just casually throw it into a conversation. Look, I heard this, and not to be like the first person out there with it, because he could just tweet those things out. But he doesn't. So I don't think he's BSing us. I think that he's just saying something he heard. Now, how true is it? You know, we don't know. We do know one thing. If it was GM Kroc in the building, 49ers would have definitely accepted that too.
Yeah, on the spot. The phone call would not have ended until there was faxes being sent.
Yeah, faxes would be, it'd be done. It'd be over with. But I would like to know, well, what are the 49ers waiting for? You have a Jimmy Garoppolo who's right now coming off of a shoulder injury, can't throw a football until July. If someone offered you a second, especially right now when there's a lot of moving pieces at the quarterback position, I don't know how much, you know, how like everything will be in your favor throughout this process, especially with the more information that comes out. Tom Brady coming back, you know, Deshaun Watson, his situation sounds like now he's available. You know, I would think that you'd have to get something done sooner than later, but maybe it might not matter. Maybe a tool is on the board and they're okay, we could take that. It ain't gone anywhere. So let's go. But I don't know how much better can you do than a second round pick in 2022 if you're the 49ers with the situation Garoppolo's in?
I don't think you could do much better. And that's sort of the thing, because, you know, usually teams count a pick next year as being one round less of a pick this year. So essentially, if you wanted to trade for someone's fourth round pick this year, you'd have to give up your third round pick next year, right? So I've talked about how a future second is probably what just like the Carson Wentz deal, right? Like a future second is what the Niners will end up getting because they need some assurances that Garoppolo's healthy and there will be some conditions in the trade. But a second next year, according to most, you know, NFL trade charts or the way GMs treat these draft picks, would be like a third this year. So a second this year is worth more than a second next year. So and you don't have to worry about Garoppolo being healthy or being good or the team winning a certain amount of games or any conditions. If a team's offering a second this year, that's a very clean offer. And I would be surprised if the 49ers could outdo that. So to me, either we're way off. And look, Mike Tannenbaum, we talked about this, former NFL GM. He works at ESPN. He said that after the whole Rodgers thing, after the Wentz thing and all that, that Jimmy Garoppolo was the big winner in all this, and the 49ers were the big winner because that Garoppolo would probably end up getting traded for a first round pick and that he's probably worth $40 million a year. And I thought he was insane saying this, but maybe that is the case. Maybe that's how teams look at it. And the Niners are holding out for a first, but you would have to start to worry that maybe they overplay their hand because Garoppolo's injured, even if a team really likes him. And I know it's a game of musical chairs, and eventually there's going to be a team that doesn't have a quarterback, and Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be the only option, and maybe they overpay, or multiple teams probably that don't have that veteran quarterback they can win now with, and Jimmy's the only option. It's getting close to that right now, actually, especially with the Brady news and the Cousins news, and the Matt Ryan redid his contract in a way that it's pretty clear that he's going to stick around as well. So I think a lot of these trade options are dwindling, and Deshaun Watson, the last one. And if you're a team that's uncomfortable with the off-field stuff for Deshaun Watson, which would be me if I was a GM of a team, I wouldn't want to go down that road. Jimmy's it. Jimmy's the guy for you. If you want to win now, so maybe he's worth more than we think, but I have a hard time believing the 49ers would flatly turn down a second round pick in 2022 for Jimmy Garoppolo. Maybe they would try to nickel and dime a team. And if a team's willing to give up a second, they could probably get like a fifth or something, or a future something, very little, you know, something minor, throw in, player, whatever. But a second this year is a very good offer for Jimmy Garoppolo, I think. And if I was GM of the night, if I was John Lynch and somebody offered me that, I would take it. Yeah, it's more valuable than a second next year. Right.
One other thing is aspect of all this, and you talk about 49ers waiting and all that, you're up against the cap right now. You know, as it stands right now, 49ers, they don't got no cap money. And they haven't made any moves with the roster, with the restructuring. I mean, they haven't made enough to make that drastic of a difference to be able to go out and get free agents. So now you have the contract of Jimmy Garoppolo looming over everything. And you have a second-round pick that you're just sitting on and waiting. Like, no. If you got a second, you do it right then, right there. Maybe they get more. I don't know. But also the money aspect of it. Like with the tampering period starting, as y'all listen to this on the 14th, Monday the 14th, the tampering period will be official. The contracts, offers, all that will be on the table. You'll start hearing all kind of noise or seeing it flood your timelines on social media, whatever it is. It's bigger than just not accepting at that time, holding out for something else. You ain't got no money. So why hold on to it? So that's the only thing that gives me a little positive, 49ers, someone offering a second, and them not taking it.
All right. So there are some rumors already starting to leak out about who the 49ers might be interested in. Some of these ideas conflict with each other, too. So I'm going to run some of them by you, Croc, including the latest from Jeremy Fowler of ESPN about Frank Clark. But I have one more note on Jimmy Garoppolo and why maybe they would be still sitting on that second round pick and why maybe there hasn't been any other noise and restructures happening with the 49ers. All that coming up. And by the way, speaking of betonline.net, Croc, did you see that there was somebody that bet over $500,000 on that Tom Brady had thrown his last touchdown or something like that, like recently, and he threw down some crazy bet, and then Tom Brady goes and unretires on him. That wasn't a bet online. You cannot find those odds at Bet Online and put $500,000 on that, but you can find tons of odds, contests, player props, especially since it's tourney time. College basketball's tournament is finally upon us, and you can find all of those odds and games at betonline.net, your number one source for all sports betting needs and information. BetOnline remains the best spot for not only sports betting, but scores and even podcasts and news this season. And it's not all about football, even though you can bet on the NFL draft and Super Bowl futures and quarterback futures, but BetOnline is your continued source for all things sports wagering, like UFC and hockey, and Major League Baseball is back, and even your favorite Vegas casino game. So get over to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action at BetOnline, where the game starts. Last note on the Garoppolo stuff, and I want to go actually to a listener who asked this question, and I think I saved it. I did not save it. I was bad at saving this weekend. I was busy this weekend. But basically, if I could paraphrase the listener, he said, what the heck is going on? Here it is. It's from Red and Gold. Devil Red Deity on Twitter. Does it make sense that the Niners have been so quiet thus far in creating cap room? We're on the brink of free agency, and it's been crickets. Even for their own guys, moves have been limited. Are we worried? And it is a little curious that the Niners haven't done much work re-signing their own guys. They haven't re-upped anybody who's about to hit free agency that we know of yet, really. You know, like Nate Sudfeld's of the world, but nothing with Lake and Tomlinson before free agency hits, or, you know, no extension with DJ Jones or anything like that. It seems like everyone's going to hit the market and see what they get, right? Which is usually a good way to lose a player or get that money bid up that you would be trying to pay a guy to bring it back.
Right.
Usually you want to get those done first if he's a priority for you to bring back before teams start bidding on him. So that is the one curious thing. But the other part I find fascinating. Niners have this second round pick burning a hole in their pocket, reportedly, for Jimmy Garoppolo. They haven't traded him yet. The new league year is coming very soon. They haven't announced any of those restructures or extensions to lower their cap number. To me, that tells me they're super confident that Garoppolo is going to get traded before the 16th. Or else they would have announced those other restructures, guys like Arik Armstead, you know, an extension with Jimmy Ward or something like that. So, and they can get under the cap easily while holding on to Jimmy Garoppolo. So maybe they just have those restructures in their pocket and they're waiting. And, you know, at midnight on the 15th, if they realize, okay, we're not going to get the Garoppolo trade done before the new league year starts, so let's announce that, let's put in the paperwork for the Arik Armstead restructure. Maybe they don't want to have those official restructures because it hurts their future cap more, and they want to see if they can get the Garoppolo thing done first, and maybe they have those restructures ready to go. I don't know, but it's interesting because either restructure some other guys or trade Jimmy, they have to do one of those things, and they only have a couple days left to do that. But maybe that's why they... Maybe, yeah. Second round pick thing. Maybe they're super confident and there's an imminent deal coming, and that's why there haven't been any other restructures, because the Niners know that this trade is going to come and they're just waiting for these last couple of teams to make their best in finals before they trade Jimmy G.
I think what you're saying, it has to be spot on, because again, they don't have any money. And we saw last season, right? There are a lot of people worried about, you know, well, you're drafting a quarterback, but you're keeping Jimmy Garoppolo on the roster. I was one of those guys who was like, hey, you know, if you are going to give up the house to trade for, you know, because around this time was when the trade happened, right? To move up to get Trey Lance?
It was March 26th. So the main free agency frenzy stuff had just finished.
Yeah. Well,
It was the pro day. It was announced the morning of the pro day of, I think it was
the Jets.
Zach Wilson's pro day. Yeah.
Yeah, I said the Jets, but yeah, you know what I mean. Zach Wilson.
Yeah, and that was funny. John Lynch tells a story about standing next to Robert Saleh. Robert Saleh picks up his phone and looks at his phone, then looks over at John Lynch. And I guess they bailed on this pro day early because, like, we don't want to talk about this with everyone right now.
But yeah, I think last year that was my thing. Well, like, all the 49ers, you have to create, you know, cap space by letting go of Jimmy Garoppolo. And they're like, oh, no, we don't have to. We're going to restructure all these other contracts, and that's going to free up money. And they did. They freed up a ton of money. They went from having like $5 million to having like 20-something million and being able to re-sign guys like Trent Williams, who a lot of people thought that wouldn't happen, and a bunch of other guys, bringing back Tart, bringing back Verrett, bringing back Kwon Williams, all those guys, right? Well, this year, again, I think that's a great point that you made. The restructures haven't happened, and Jimmy Garoppolo is still on the contract. So should we expect some news really in the next 24 hours? Because, again, the tampering period starts like at midnight or whenever. Like, that's when free agency officially starts. And that might be midnight Eastern time, which is definitely soon in California time. All right, that's when, like, free agency starts. The tampering period, that's free agency. So you are less than 24 hours away from that happening and really not having – the money to make any big moves. Now, maybe the 49ers are looking at their team and like, hey, we don't have to make big moves. So we can let this thing play out and trade Jimmy when we, you know, ready. And, you know, we can go out and get a guy like Will Fuller at receiver, whatever the case is, guys that maybe won't cost a ton of money. But I you would think, again, and I thought this last year and I was wrong, you would think that it would be more useful to not have Jimmy Garoppolo on the roster right now. But maybe they're just not in any rush.
You know, now that I think about it, maybe we should go live tomorrow afternoon while all the tampering's happening.
Yeah.
Like 4 p.m. Pacific time, maybe. Do a little live tampering period.
Yeah.
If you can do it, Croc. I think that'd be a lot of fun because it could get pretty crazy tomorrow. We might hear about all these things. And look, the Niners might have those restructures in their pocket and know Jimmy's going to stick around. And then, you know, on the 16th, we're like, oh, yeah, Eric Armstead restructured this and that. They don't have to do that much to get under. But here's the other thing. If these names that they're connected to, Croc, Richard Sherman on his podcast says that he thinks that Stephon Gilmore signing either in Seattle or San Francisco with the 49ers. And now there's the latest report from Jeremy Fowler of ESPN saying that the expectation around the league is that Chiefs defensive end Frank Clark is traded, released, or his contract is reworked. And his $26 million cap hit is a tough sell for Kansas City. And then he goes on to say, watch out for the 49ers as a potential new home. You got to have enough money not only to be under the cap for the new league year, but if you want to start paying guys like Frank Clark and Stephon Gilmore, you got to be well under the salary cap. And that's much harder to do if Jimmy Garoppolo is still around. So, and just Frank Clark alone, what are your thoughts on that one? Because that's the first time I've heard his name connected with the 49ers. And I know the Niners love themselves pass rushers, they love themselves some defensive linemen, but the Frank Clark one doesn't feel right. That report doesn't make sense to me.
Well, it doesn't feel right, but I do want to ask you a couple questions before I get into that. My first question is, do you think that there's some type of thing with the media that they know if they include the 49ers name in any type of interest in the player, it just gains more traction? They're always tied into literally everyone.
It feels like more and more that the Niners name is just thrown out there as a little extra clickbait. Because we know the Niner empire is strong, Croc, right? And really what it is someone like Jeremy Fowler's smart. He knows that one of the most popular sports and football podcasts in the world is Locked On 49ers. And he knows if he puts this report out there that you and I are going to talk about it, and then more people are going to go back and find him at J Fowler ESPN on Twitter and look him up. And so probably a smart career decision on Fowler's part. So, I kind of get it from that angle, right? It's the power of Locked On 49ers.
All right. So and then on top of that, you know, Frank Clark, I'm going to say Frank Gore, completely opposite type guys. Frank Clark, what I wanted to say was, is it me or does he not feel like a Shanahan and Lynch guy? Because really the guys that they go after, the players they go after, They're pretty specific from a cultural standpoint, like their mindset, the way they approach things. And Frank Clark seems to be kind of the opposite of that. Terrific football player. So they like him from that standpoint. But
that makes yeah.
But I remember in the Super Bowl or after the Super Bowl, he just kind of comes off as like this like kind of, oh yeah, we want to do this and we want to make that sorry quarterback throw the ball and, you know, $100 million, he can't complete a pass. Like, you know, he comes off, like 49ers really don't have those type of players. Maybe Jimmy Ward comes off, you know, he talks the most. And even then he does it kind of nonchalant. So it's almost like, I don't think it's like a look at me type thing with Jimmy Ward. I think it's just Jimmy Ward just talks that way.
That's what he says, yeah. Sherman, like yeah. The closest to that is probably Richard Sherman that the 49ers are at.
Yeah, so, yeah, okay, maybe. So maybe
still, they like very different. Like, you know, still different than Frank Clark. Like, and the off-field stuff from Frank Clark, you know, and some of that stuff from that followed him into the NFL, but it's some really bad stuff from his college days. And, you know, just adding another 55 that's a cast off from the Chiefs didn't work out great for the 49ers. It worked out okay for one season for the 49ers.
What's still going on with D Ford?
It's just salary cap gymnastics. He's not going to play for the Niners. He's not going to play for anybody ever again, I don't think, but he's just...
I think this is the issue of restructuring contracts, huh?
Yeah. Well, and his was worse just because of the injury and because of what the 49ers were forced to do. And it was just kind of, it just turned out all bad. But the 49ers have been one of the best in the league as far as dead cap money. I think they're third in the league in dead cap money, in the least amount of dead cap money. So the 49ers don't like really just putting, you know, fake dollars out there and creating a bunch of dead cap space for themselves. But I don't know. Frank Clark doesn't make sense. Just go re-sign DJ Jones and re-sign Arden Key and go draft like a situational pass rusher. Go draft Sam Williams or Nick Benito or somebody.
I'm not gonna lie, Peacock. I would definitely sign Frank Clark over drafting someone.
You know what? Let's finish up with this because I want to see, because I know Pro Football Focus has some projections out there and they're done by, I believe, Brad Spielberger, who's been on the show with me before here, and he did good work over there at overthecap.com. Now he works with Pro Football Focus. And he does awesome salary cap work. And he, I believe, has some projected numbers here. And we went over some with the cornerbacks not too long ago. I want to see what he has projected for Frank. Frank Clark's not a free agent yet, so we won't have any projections there. But I wonder if he has projections for DJ Jones might make. Let's see. DJ Jones. Okay, projection here. 3 years, $8.75 million per year.
That's a healthy number.
So 875, a little under $9 million a year for DJ Jones. Let's see what Arden Key's numbers are. I think only the top 100 free agents have projections. So let's see if Harold Landry got that new contract. That one hurts me every time. Every time Harold Landry makes a play, gets a sack, it hurts me deeply because I loved him so much as a prospect, and the Niners traded up in the second round of 2018 and traded up two picks after Landry went, who, by the way, the Tennessee Titans traded up to get Landry. They traded up to get Dante Pettis. And I was like, why didn't you trade up to get Harold Landry? That's the target. What are you doing?
Who every 49er fan wanted.
Everybody. Like, the fact he was in the second round was ridiculous anyway.
What if taking him in the first round, right? Like, people are talking about, like, should he go ahead to top 10?
You know what's funny is Jeff Lloyd, the host of Locked On Browns, in our Locked On NFL mock draft, all the hosts every year we do a mock draft. He drafted him number 4 overall to the Browns. And this was like the month of the draft. And he fell all the way past the Browns twice. That was the pick. That was the year Baker went 1 and Denzel Ward went number 4. And he had Harold Landry going up there at number 4. And then the Niners the next year don't have a pass rush. So what do? They go spend too much in trade and dollars on D Ford, who's a good player, but that's the exact player Harold Landry would have been on a rookie contract for the 49ers. They would have never had to do the D Ford deal. They wouldn't have screwed themselves with all that extra money they paid with D Ford. D Ford was good for a year, but Harold Landry's same style of player. They wouldn't have had to trade. They would have had an extra second round pick because they would have used that pick on Landry, and they wouldn't have had to make the trade for Ford, knowing that they were going to draft Bosa number 2 that year. So anyway, the Harold Landry one just really bothers me. I don't know what teams were thinking with Harold Landry. He was just awesome. He could run under the table at full speed. He was a little undersized, you know, so he don't, maybe situationally if you're a 4-3 team, but you know, everyone's in sub so much. I don't know. I never got that one. Anyway, back to
real quick. I just did something I feel like fans do. And I kind of went off a name with Frank Clark and was like, I'd rather have Frank Clark and sign him than a rookie. And I apologize because that's out of my character. I shouldn't have did that. I just went off of name. I don't know how Frank Clark's been playing. In my head, it's like he's a good football player. So,
well, he had 5 sacks last year.
All right. I mean, that's very regular.
Yeah, it's very regular. Okay.
So, now, what's the impact of him on a play-to-play basis? How is he playing the postseason when it matters most? I think those are things are more important. But yeah,
it affects still, the way 5 sacks. It affects the way you defend Nick Bosa. You know, you're not going to double Nick Bosa often.
I like players like him that are mean too. I feel like you need those type of guys like that. Not saying he's a dirty player, but just like that, like, you know, I don't take no BS type guy. Right. And, you know, I'm going to get in the head of my opponent or whatever, you know, it's always good to have that type of guy on your side. But yeah.
So let's see. Arden Key projected 2-year deal, $6.25 million a year. So that's essentially $15 million a year. Combined.
And Fuentes have Ebikam. I always forget that. He is under contract.
By the way, Ebikam is a guy that they could cut and save $5 or $6 million on the salary cap. So do you cut Ebikam and not re-sign Key, not re-sign DJ Jones, that pays for Frank Clark. Would you rather have Frank Clark or all three of those guys?
Yeah, see. Yeah, I'd probably rather have all three of those guys. And Ebikam, you know, we're just talking about production here. Last season, 4.5 sacks. So he's pretty much in the same range. And he played his best ball down the stretch where it felt like they started to figure out what to do with him. And in the postseason, he was productive as well. So would you rather have Ebikem, who you already have on your roster, or replace him with a guy like Frank Clark? And I'd say, you know what? Maybe the 49ers are pretty solid. Now just bring back an Arden Key. Bring back a DJ Jones.
Bring back Arden Key. I would buy the argument that if Frank Clark makes the same per year as Arden Key and Jones combined, when you have Armstead and you hope that you're going to have, you hope Kinlaw is going to be the dude inside, right? So maybe Frank Clark instead of those two guys, I'll buy that argument. But then there's the off-field stuff with Frank Clark. There's age with Frank Clark. Is he declining? And I just think you need to get a little bit cheaper on the defensive line because you're already paying a lot of guys there and you're going to be paying even more for Nick Bosa very soon. And we'll finish with this, Croc. Gilmore or Clark? Let's say they cost the same amount, same contract. Do you sign Gilmore? Then try to bring back whoever you can on the defensive line for the Niners, maybe go into the draft at 61 and get your edge guy, a situational rusher there, and go with Gilmore? Or do you do the opposite?
I go with Gilmore. You ain't even got to finish it. Yeah, I'm going with Gilmore. And bring back those other guys. As opposed to Frank Clark and then have to figure out, you know.
I'm with you. And Frank Clark's talented. That's not it. It's just that I would go the other way and maybe try to get a little cheaper on the defensive line. Go find yourself a situational pass rusher. Then you can let Ebikem walk eventually and have a nice rotation of guys that help out the higher paid dudes on your defensive line.
Yeah.
All right. We're in lockstep there, Croc. Tampering starts tomorrow. I think it's time to go live and talk about all the tampering, Croc.
Real quick, is there a guy that I know we're up against the clock right now, but before we get out of here, do you have a wish list?
I've been under the assumption that the Niners aren't going to go heavy on anybody who's an outside free agent and try harder with their own guys, but the fact that they haven't extended anybody or re-signed any of their own free agents, and seeing that their name is attached to some of these higher dollar free agents, I have a feeling they might make a splash here. The more I think about it, the more I do like a name like Gilmore to the 49ers, because financially I think he makes sense. I think he can make a big difference in the short term, and I think he really fixes a position group and, you know, knocks everybody down a peg there, and Ambry Thomas can be the number three guy. You don't have to expect him to be the straight up starter for you next year. And it really fixes the depth chart in the secondary, at least at corner. I mean, Honey Badger, I think if you're talking about a big time dark horse, you know, the 49ers like him, you know, John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan would love to have that type of playmaker on their team. Could they, you know, let Tart walk and go bring in someone like Tyrann Mathieu to play a little in the slot, play a little safety? Could that be something that really shocks people? You know, Frank Clark, maybe there's a trade in the works we don't know about yet. There's going to be some surprises out there, but there's not really a name on the free agent market right now that really excites me for the 49ers, because I don't think they're going to have They're not going to go after Teron Armstead, you know, or, you know, and a lot of the other top free agents have gotten the franchise tag. You know, Chandler Jones, I think, would probably be the one. Look, and if you're going to pay Frank Clark, go pay Chandler Jones, right? I wouldn't even, if that's what you wanted to do, is go find the studliest dude across from Nick Bosa, I'm for sure calling Chandler Jones first before I'm calling Frank Clark.
I think for me, it's probably like Will Fuller. You know, and that won't be something that happens probably on the first, you know, few days or whatever. It might happen next week, you know, kind of a second wave of free agents. But, you know, I've been looking for that guy. Again, brings a different, that different thing on offense and can stretch the field and kind of be that guy that, you know, opens it up for them. You know, throw a ball out there. He'll run under and get it. I think Will Fuller, hey, you don't got to be wide receiver one. You don't got to be wide receiver two. Hell, you could be our fourth option. But stretch that damn field. I think Will Fuller is somebody that could do it and probably won't cost a whole lot of money.
We haven't talked a lot about Carlton Davis. Dark horse, Carlton Davis, corner. I mean, if they're willing to throw money at Gilmore and J.C. Jackson, they've been connected to the Niners. Why not Carlton Davis? He's younger than both of them. Yeah. Or no, he's younger than... Yeah. I think he is younger than both of them, actually. He's definitely younger. He's hitting the free agent market for the first time, just like Jackson is. He's definitely 5 or 6 years younger than Gilmore. And let's see where J.C. Jackson is.
25, he's, I'm guessing.
Yeah, he's 25. J.C. Jackson's 26. Yeah. So he's even younger than Jackson. Mm-hmm. More zone than man. What do you want? You want a man corner or a zone corner?
He could do both.
Yeah.
Just don't put him on, like, the jittery type receivers.
The quick underneath dudes.
But he could play off. He could play quarters. They did a lot of quarters with him. He can play man. You know, we've seen him legitimately like shut down guys like Michael Thomas, like shut him down. So, but don't put him on that jittery guy because he can get ugly.
We'll see. It's going to get crazy fast on Monday when the tampering period begins because, as we know, Croc, it's legal tampering Monday and illegal tampering has already been going on. So we'll find out what the fruits of the illegal tampering have been tomorrow, and we'll see if any of these deals get filtered through. And I think the NFL has done a job of trying to mute some of those trade or some of those signings and not announce them to the actual league year begins, but we know some stuff's going to start leaking out on Monday. So Croc and I are going to be here live. We'll hit some of your questions. We'll talk about the first day of legal tampering Monday, 4 p.m. Pacific time, 7 p.m. Eastern. Peacock live stream. Thanks everybody for making us your first listen. For your second listen, check out the Peacock and Williamson NFL show. Check out Croc doing the Locked On NFL Draft podcast daily right here on the network. Croc and I back tomorrow right here, Locked On 49ers.